Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Mila, Perek Aleph. The koteret of Hilchot Mila lists only one mitzvah, Lamul et hazecharim bayom hashmini, to circumcise males on the eighth day. This is a vague description, which leaves out the important question of who exactly is required to carry out this mitzvah. As we'll see in the first halacha of the perek, this depends on the circumstances. The remainder of this perek discusses further details of the chiyuv, the obligation in Mila, specifically who needs to have one, and when exactly the Brit Mila is performed. Halacha Aleph. Mila mitzvat ase shachayvin aleha karet, shnemar, ve'arel zachar asher lo yimol epesar orlato, v'nechrita hanefeshahi. Umitzvah al ha'av lamul et beno, val harav lamul et kol avadav, yilid bayit umiknat kesef. From the pasuk of Ve'arel zachar asher lo yimol et besar orlato v'nichrita, we learn that the punishment for neglecting the mitzvah of Mila is karet. Note the terms orla for the foreskin and arel for an uncircumcised male, which will come up many times in these halachot. The mitzvah of Mila is almost unique in that it is a mitzvah aseh which carries a chiyuv karet. Usually, the severe punishment of karet applies for a sin of commission, like being mechalel Shabbat, worshipping Avodah Zarah, or engaging in gilui arayot. There are only two instances in halacha where karet is the punishment for a sin of omission, neglecting to fulfill a positive commandment, and those are Mila and Korban Pesach. We'll get back to this punishment of karet in halacha bet, but first we complete halacha aleph. Avar ha'av o ha'adon v'lo malotan, bitel mitzvat asei ve'eino chayav karet, she'ein ha'karet talui ela ba'arel atzmo, uvei din mitzuvin lamul et oto ha'ben o ha'eved bizmano, v'lo yanichu arel lo b'Yisrael v'lo ba'avdehem. Ein molin beno shel adam shelo midato, ela imkein avar v'nimna limulo, she'beidin malin oto bal korcho. A father is obligated to circumcise his son, and a master to circumcise his male slave, meaning his Eved Kanani, referred to in the Torah as Yilid Bayit Umiknat Kesef, a slave either born into his household or purchased by him. If the father or the master doesn't do so at the proper time, this represents a bitul aseh, neglect of a positive commandment, and Beit Din is required to intervene and see to it that the circumcision is carried out. It is their responsibility to ensure that there is no arel among the Jewish people or their slaves. But none of these people, the father, the master, and Beit Din, gets the punishment of karet for being derelict in their responsibility. Who gets karet then? Nit alem Beit Din velo malu oto, kishiyagdil hu chayav lamul et atzmo. V'chol yom v'yom shi'avor alav mi shi'agdil v'lo yamul et atzmo, harei hu mevatel mitzvat asei, aval eino chayav karet ad shi'amut v'hu arel b'mezid. The uncircumcised child is obligated, when he reaches adulthood, to have a brit milah. If he doesn't do so, then he is neglecting a mitzvat asei, but he only gets the punishment of karet if he dies as an arel, having willfully neglected to do this mitzvah before he died. The Ramach, a contemporary of the Ravid, asks the immediate question, what does it mean to get karet after death? He understands that the punishment of karet is that a person dies before his time, so this is a punishment that occurs during one's lifetime. The Ravid, in his Hasagi here, also rejects this statement of the Rambam, and believes that the adult arel who refuses to circumcise is deserving every day of the punishment of karet. Only his belated circumcision exempts him from this punishment. But as the Kesef Mishnah here points out, the Rambam has a unique understanding of karet, which we saw in Hilchot Tshuva Perek Chet. He considers karet to take place only after death, when the soul is denied the privilege of Olam Haba, that spiritual existence where deserving souls benefit from the knowledge of God in a manner which is inaccessible to humans. So for the Rambam, it makes perfect sense that the chiyuv karet doesn't kick in until the person dies as an arel. As serious as it is for the arel to delay his own circumcision, if he ultimately gets a brit milah, then this represents an act of tshuva for his neglect of this mitzvah, and so he doesn't get the punishment of karet after his death. Halacha Gimel. Echad eved shenolad birshut Yisrael, v'echad eved hanilkach min agoyim. Hakol chayav harav limulan. Ela sheyilid habayit nimol lishmona, umiknat kesef nimol bayom shenelkach, afilu lekacho bayom shenolad nimol biyomo. There are two kinds of abadim, and the obligation of each in brit milah is different. A yilid bayit is a male slave born to a shifcha owned by the master. This baby must have his brit on the eighth day, just like a Jewish child. A miknat kesef is a purchased slave, and he needs a brit milah as soon as he is purchased, even if this is before he is 8 days old. In the next two halachot, the Rambam brings ambiguous cases, which seem like exceptions to this rule. If someone purchases a pregnant shivcha together with her fetus, and then she gives birth to a male child, the child is circumcised on the eighth day. Even though the master bought the fetus, so it would seem to be a miknat kesef, he is in fact considered a yelid bayit, because he was born to a shivcha owned by the same master at the moment of birth. Conversely, if the master purchased only the fetus of a pregnant shivcha belonging to someone else, and she gives birth to a boy, the baby is considered a miknat kesef and gets a brit milah immediately. Even though he was purchased before birth, he isn't considered a yelid bayit, because he wasn't born to a mother who is a shivcha of the same master. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam brings the case of an eved purchased from a non-Jew as an adult. If this eved doesn't agree to be circumcised within 12 months of being purchased, then the buyer must return him to the seller. This can be circumvented if they stipulated explicitly at the time of the purchase that the eved would not require a brit milah. But even in this case, the eved must accept the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach and become a ger toshav. We discussed the parameters of ger toshav back in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud. Halacha Zayin. Ger shenichnas likal Yisrael chayav milah tchila. V'imal kishehaya goy, tzarich lahatif menu dam brit kishenitgayer. V'chein katan shenolad kishuhu mahul, tzarich lahatif menu dam brit bayom hashmini. A male ger requires brit milah as part of his conversion process. If he had already been circumcised as a non-Jew, then he needs hatafat dam brit, that is, an incision, to remove some blood in the area of the brit milah without cutting off any skin. The same is required in the rare circumstance of the nolad mahul, the boy born without an orla. The idea behind hatafat dam brit seems to be that brit milah serves a dual purpose. It removes a negative, that is, the orla, but it also adds a positive, in that it brings a person into the covenant established originally between Hashem and Avraham Avinu. Even when the first goal is moot because the orla is already gone, the second goal is still relevant and requires some act. Hatafat dam brit is a way to accomplish the positive aspect of brit milah when there is no orla to remove. We'll see in a moment that some poskim apply it to other cases as well. The Rambam says at the end of the halacha that an androgynous, as well as a yotzei dofen, a baby born via cesarean section, have a brit on the eighth day, but we'll see a caveat about these cases a little later. Halacha chet. Ein molin la'olam ela bayom achar alot ha-shemesh, bein bayom ha-shmini shu zmana, bein shelo bizmana shu mitshi'i v'hala. Shneemar uvayom ha-shmini, bayom v'lo balayla, v'im mal mishe'ala amur ha-shachar, kasher. V'chol hayom kasher l'milah, v'af al pichein mitzvah lahakdim mitchilat hayom, zrizin makdimin la'mitzvot. Brit milah must be performed during the day, not at night, and so the earliest it should be done is sunrise of the eighth day. B'di'evet, it can be done as early as alot ha-shachar of that day. Any time during the eighth day is considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah, but the concept of zrizin makdimim l'mitzvot applies here, and so the brit should be done as early as possible during the daylight hours. Even if the eighth day is missed altogether, the brit still can't be done at night, and must wait until the daytime of the ninth day or whichever day on which the brit is eventually performed. What if the brit is done at night in violation of this halacha? The Rama rules that this is comparable to the case of a non-Jew who was circumcised before converting, and we do hatafat dam brit. The Shagat Ari disagrees. The circumcision of a non-Jew was done when he wasn't obligated in milah. But when someone is obligated in milah, and it is done in an invalid manner, then he has lost his opportunity to do this mitzvah, and hatafat dam brit doesn't help. What if the brit is performed during the daytime, but before the eighth day? The Rama believes that in this case, the milah is valid b'di'evet, even without hatafat dam brit. The Shach and the Taz require hatafat dam brit in this case as well, and the Shagat Aryeh again believes that the mitzvah has been irretrievably lost. We'll see one more case like this at the beginning of the next parak. Halacha Tet. Mila bizmana docha at ha-shabbat, v'shol bizmana ina docha lo at ha-shabbat v'lo et yom tov. Uvein bizmana uvein shelo bizmana docha at ha-tzarat. Ketzad, she'im hayta baheret ba'or ha'orla, chotcho im ha'orla, af al pi shek tzitzat nega ha'tzarat belo tase, yavo ase v'yidche et lo tase. a brit milah can be done on Shabbat, even though it involves the melacha of chovel, drawing blood, as long as it takes place at its proper time on the eighth day. This is true both of one's son and, the Rambam says in Halacha Yud, of one's eved, who is a yelid bayit and gets a brit on the eighth day, as we discussed earlier. Aside from melacha on Shabbat, another potential halachic problem in doing the milah is the prohibition to cut a nega tzarat. This comes from the pasuk of Hishamer b'nega hatzarat in Parshat Ki Tetzeh. What if the baby has a nega tzarat exactly where the orla needs to be cut? Here we apply the principle of asei docha lo tasei to allow the milah to proceed, whether it is performed on the eighth day or afterwards. Why not apply the same principle to milah on Shabbat even after the eighth day? Because Shabbat isn't just a lo tasei of malacha. There is an asei as well of tishbot, as we'll see soon at the beginning of Hilchot Shabbat. And the rule is ein asei docha lo tasei ve'asei. The Gemara learns from Psukim that milah nonetheless overrides Shabbat, but only on the eighth day, not at any other time. In Halacha Yoda Aleph, the Rambam adds that the Hatafat Dam Brit of a baby born without an Orla does not override Shabbat. And so even if the eighth day of this baby's life is Shabbat, his Hatafat Dam Brit must wait for the next day, Sunday. The same is true for the cases we saw earlier of androgynous and yotzei dofen, the cesarean birth. The chiyuv of the androgynous in Brit Mila is entirely a suffix. We'll return to this in Perek Gimel. And while the yotzei dofen is certainly obligated in Mila, he may not require it specifically on the eighth day, because the pasuk of Uvayom Hashmini, Yimol Besar Orlato in Parsha Tazria, appears in the context of a normal vaginal birth. Therefore, both the androgynous and the yotzei dofen can't have a brit on Shabbat, because milah overrides Shabbat only when there is a clear obligation of brit milah on the eighth day. Halacha Yud Bet. Mi shenolad bein hashmashot, safek bayom, safek balayla, monin min halayla, v'nimol bat shi'i shehu safek shmini, v'im nolad erev Shabbat bein hashmashot, eino doche et hashabbat, ela nimol be'echad b'shabbat, she'ein dochin Shabbat mi safek. Bein Hashmashot is the period of time in the early evening, which has the halachic status of a safek. It may belong to the previous day and may belong to the following day. We will save for another occasion a discussion of exactly when Bein Hashmashot begins and how long it lasts. If a baby is born during Bein Hashmashot at the end of, say, Tuesday, then he cannot have his brit milah the following Tuesday, as this may be the eighth day, but may be only the seventh day. And so the brit waits until Wednesday, even though Wednesday may be the ninth day. What if he is born during Bein Hashmashot between Friday and Shabbat? He can't have his brit the following Friday, because this may be the seventh day. But he also can't have his brit on Shabbat, because this may be the ninth day, and we learned that a brit overrides Shabbat only when it takes place on the eighth day. So his brit must wait until Sunday, which is either the ninth or the tenth day, but certainly not the eighth. In Halachot Yud Gimel and Yud Aled, the Rambam discusses the din of a baby born in the eighth month of pregnancy. Chazal felt that a fetus could be viable if it was born during the seventh month or during the ninth month. A baby born during the eighth month represents one of two possibilities. Either it is healthy, meaning it should have been born in the seventh month and tarried in the womb, or it is premature and inviable. In halachic terminology, a nafel. The way to distinguish between these options is based on the baby's appearance. If he looks healthy, with fully formed hair and fingernails, then he is viable, and he has a brit milah on the eighth day, even if that day is Shabbat. But if it is clear from his appearance that he is premature, then he is assumed to be a nafel, and does not have a brit milah on Shabbat. For the first 30 days of its life, if it survives that long, the nafel is considered an inanimate object, with halachic ramifications that we'll encounter later in the Mishnah Torah. If the baby survives 30 days, then at that point it is considered to be viable, and no longer has the status of a nafel. The status of the nafel as an inanimate object leads to a leniency in Halacha Yud Daled. If we aren't sure if the baby was born in its 7th or 8th month, and the baby's appearance is inconclusive, he nonetheless has a brit milah on Shabbat. Why? Because either way, cutting his orla on Shabbat is permitted. If he was born in the 7th month, or in the 8th and is healthy, then his brit can override Shabbat. If he was born in the 8th month and is a nafel, then cutting the orla isn't considered chovel, causing a wound and drawing blood, because a nafel is the equivalent of an inanimate object. Cutting its skin is just like cutting dead flesh, which isn't a malach on Shabbat. We end this discussion of the nafel by pointing out that the concept rarely exists today. Modern medicine is often able to save premature babies born in the 8th month. Poskim nowadays determine the status of a premature baby based on its chances of survival, as evaluated by professional doctors, rather than based on the month of pregnancy in which it was born. Halacha Tedvav. Hotzi ha'ubaro sho chutz lim'ei imo ben ashmashot, afa pishlo yatsa kulo ela bilelei shabbat, ein molino to b'shabbat. V'chol mi she'no doche et ha'shabbat, eino doche et yom tov rishon, v'doche et yom tov sheni. Uvishne yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, eino doche lo et harishon, velo et hasheni. V'chein mila shel bizmana, eina docha sheni shel Rosh Hashanah. If the baby's head comes out first, then this is considered the moment of birth, even if the rest of the body comes out later. So if the head comes out during Bein HaShmashot at the start of Shabbat, even if the rest of the body emerges after dark when it is definitely Shabbat, the baby cannot get a Brit Milah on the following Shabbat. Just as Brit overrides Shabbat only if it is definitely the eighth day, the same is true of Yom Tov. What about Yom Tov Sheni, which is Midrabanan? Can a Brit override Yom Tov Sheni even if it isn't the eighth day? The Rambam distinguishes between Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, like the second day of Pesach or Sukkot in Chutz Laretz, and the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is practiced even in Eretz Yisrael. A Brit Milah, even after the eighth day, can take place on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, but not on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. When we get to Hilchot Eruvin and Hilchot Yom Tov, we'll see that the second day of Rosh Hashanah is considered a rabbinic extension of the first day, and therefore is more strict than Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, which is distinct from the first day of Yom Tov and rooted in ancient custom. Hence, the Rambam believes that Brit Milah can always override Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, but the second day of Rosh Hashanah has the same status as Shabbat and Yom Tov Rishon. The Rosh disagrees with the Rambam and believes that even Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot is only set aside when the Brit Milah takes place on the eighth day, and the Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion of the Rosh. The Shach, however, disagrees and accepts the view of the Rambam. To summarize with an example, if a baby is born during Bein HaShmashot of Wednesday night in Chutz Laretz, and the following Thursday, which is possibly the eighth and possibly the ninth day, is the first day of Sukkot, then the Rambam and the Shach would allow the Brit to take place on Friday, Yom Tov Sheni, while the Rosh would require that we wait all the way until Sunday. If Thursday was not Sukkot, but rather the first day of Rosh Hashanah, then according to all opinions, the Brit takes place on Sunday. Halacha Tetzayin. Chole ein molinoto ad shiavri. Umonin lo me'et shiyichi micholyo shivat yamim me'et le'et, v'achar kach molinoto. במה דברים אמורים? בשחלצתו חמה וכיוצא בכל איזה. אבל אם כאבו לו עיניו, בעת שיתפתחו עיניו וירפו, מולין אותו מיד וכן כל כיוצא בזה. If a baby is sick, the Brit Milah is postponed. Here we distinguish between two situations of sickness. If the disease affects the baby's entire body, like a fever, then we wait 7 full days after he recovers before performing the Brit. But if the disease is local to a specific part of the body, like a pain in the eyes, then the Brit is performed immediately after the baby recovers. The next halacha addresses the common case of a jaundiced baby. Katan shenimtza bashmini shelo yarok biyoter, ein molinoto ad shiyipol bo dam v'yachzeru marav k'marei haktanim habriim. V'chein im haya adom biyoter k'mi shetzva'o, ein molinoto ad shiyibala bo damo v'yachzeru marav k'sha'ar k'tanim, mipnei sheze choli. V'tzarich lizaher b'dvarim elu harbe, v'ein molin ela yelad she'ein bo shem choli. שסכנת נפשות דוחה את הכל, ואפשר למול לאחר זמן, ואי אפשר להחזיר נפש אחד מישראל לעולם. If a baby's skin is very yellow, the word yarok, meaning green in modern Hebrew, can mean yellow in rabbinic Hebrew, or very red, then he is not circumcised until his blood circulates properly and his skin regains a normal complexion. Interestingly, the Rambam doesn't clarify here whether these problems are of the first or the second type discussed in the last halacha. Is this a disease of the entire body, requiring 7 days of waiting after the skin gains a normal complexion? Or can the Brit Milah be performed immediately? The Shulchan Aruch just quotes the language of the Rambam without clarifying this point. The Aruch HaShulchan makes reference to unnamed Gedolim, who felt it necessary to wait 7 days, and he strongly disagrees, as jaundiced skin in a newborn is generally not a disease, but rather a sign of slow physiological development. Once the body catches up and the skin looks normal, the Brit can take place without further delay. This is also the view of modern-day poskim, including the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer of Waldenburg, who passed away about 20 years ago and specialized in topics of medicine and halacha, who adds that a professional medical opinion is necessary in order to determine the reason for the jaundice. In less common cases, jaundice in a baby can be an indication of liver disease or infection, in which case the breet should wait until 7 days after the baby returns to full health. Ramosha Feinstein discusses the case of a newborn baby with a very low body weight. If doctors recommend that the breet be postponed until the baby's weight increases, then it can be performed as soon as the doctors feel the danger has passed, without waiting 7 additional days. But if a newborn requires an incubator, this need in and of itself is considered the equivalent of a disease of the entire body, and the breet must wait 7 days after the baby leaves the incubator. The Rambam emphasizes at the end of the Salacha how careful we must be in these matters, as mitzvot are set aside whenever there is a concern of sakanat nefashot. It is always possible to perform a brit milah at a later date, but it is impossible to retrieve a lost life. The Rambam ends the perek in Halacha Yudchet with the tragic situation of metu echav machmat milah. If it happens twice to the same mother, whether from the same father or not, that a baby's health declines as a result of his brit milah and he dies, then a third son is not circumcised on the 8th day. Rather, we wait until he gets older and stronger. The Rambam doesn't specify how long we wait, but it seems from the Gemara and Rishonim that this wait can continue well into adulthood. The Shulchan Aruch extends this din to 2 other cases. The first is the same situation for a father rather than a mother. If 2 sons of 1 father die after having a brit milah on the 8th day, whether from 1 mother or not, then the father's 3rd son must wait. The other case is if 2 sisters lose 1 son each under similar circumstances, then when any other sister of these 2 has a baby, the brit milah must wait until the baby grows and gets stronger.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.